Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Joe here, and thanks for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. And, modern technology, we sure have a lot of fun, but we've now connected, how many guys, from four states, I guess, and we're all coming together because we're looking forward to being with you. And you know how this works. We've got Dr. Paul Hall, one of our wonderful co-hosts, who's a retired pastor, teacher, theologian. You're going to hear from him tonight. We've got Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen. He flew an F-14 Tomcat, and now she takes good care of him. Wonderful people. And we'd have, as you met last week, again, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Craig is a trauma surgeon, heads the department at his hospital, and also health and wellness coach, Stephanie Thayer. And we love hearing from this team. So you kind of know the team now. We're going to roll right along because actually we've got some time to make up on tonight. We've got a great guest for you tonight, all the way from Dallas, Texas, and we bring you back by request. We have Laura Lester, and Laura and her husband David founded the Special Alzheimer's Daycare System, where she helps countless people and their families deal with the question of Alzheimer's in their lives. And it's more and more in the nation today. And I know you're going to feel, as she shares with our team, her passion, her heart for people, her love for God, and her caring for people that she deals with. So Laura Lester, all the way from Texas, we're glad that you're with us tonight, and say hi to David for us also. Hey, guys and gals, let's say hi to Laura, and let's give her we call this the F-14 bringing you on, okay?
I'm okay to launch now. Yes. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Hey, everybody.
Welcome, Laura. Share with us a little bit.
Well, I'm very honored and grateful that you asked me to speak today and to help you guys. I have been running some adult daycare centers for people with dementia for about 10 years. And running them during a pandemic has really been very challenging, but it's still very rewarding. And it's really my passion. I really love doing it. So that's what I do. I thought that the last time I gave you guys some tips and strategies on how to deal with people that have dementia. So and we almost ran out of time last time. So I was thinking maybe it might be easier or better if we had more of a conversation instead of me just speaking. If you guys have some questions or anything like that, I would be happy to answer them. And so that's kind of what I was thinking today, that I would be available to answer any questions that you guys may have about dementia in general, or a dementia daycare, or dealing with a dementia during a pandemic, any of those topics.
Anybody want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I know Alzheimer's and dementia are memory loss, right? So, and in the pandemic, for especially skilled nursing facilities and adult living, they pretty much got locked down. And if they had spouses that weren't in it, then they didn't get to see them for a while. So what was your experience with having a shelter?
Well, fortunately for us is we're just daycare, so that we didn't have to lock our people down. They go home every night with their families. So originally in March, we closed for 6 weeks. And at first we were going to close for 2 weeks, if you remember, and then it was extended for a whole month to flatten the curve. So we were closed for 6 weeks. And during that period of time, it was really tragic. We lost some people died. Seriously, that people were put into these lockdown situations and they didn't survive it. And so we reopened on May 4th. And we have been, as I said, we've been running it for 10 years. We know how to, we've known all along that if anything goes through our center, anything, diarrhea, anything, it can be dangerous to our seniors. So we already knew how disease was spread, and we already had protocols in place to keep diseases from spreading through the center, but we kicked it up a couple of notches starting in March. So we don't allow anybody into our center right now that has any symptoms at all. And we haven't since May. And so if someone comes to the center, we meet them out in the parking lot. We ask them some screening questions, and we ask the same screening questions every single day, because we don't want somebody to say yes one day and no the next. So we'll ask them the screening questions. And if we get an answer like, well, he's got a little cough, but it's nothing. He gets it every year. It's just allergies. We say he has to go home, because we can't take right now during the pandemic, we can't take a little cough. Mm-hmm. And this has happened actually twice to us, and both of them ended up with COVID. Both of the people left our center, didn't come in because they had a little cough. And we said, you can't come back until you have a negative test for COVID, or you stay gone for 14 days. And so they wanted to come back. So they went and tested for COVID, and both of them were positive for COVID. So both of them also had probably been asymptomatic prior to that day, and had been in our center. And we're happy to say that we have had zero spread at our center from any of our cases. And we've had three cases since we reopened in May, but none of it has spread. And fortunately, we're very grateful that all of the cases that we've had have been mild cases. So we haven't lost anybody to COVID. We've lost people from the lockdowns, but we haven't lost anybody to the actual disease.
Hmm. What, Laura, is the age range in general? I mean, is it mostly, I would assume it must be mostly elderly, but then there are younger people getting Alzheimer's and dementia these days too.
Most of my guests are in their 70s. I do have some younger, and I do have some older, but the majority of them are between 70 and 79.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And none of them are from nursing homes. They're all getting home care then.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good.
Prior to COVID, I was allowing people that lived in, say, assisted livings, I was allowing them to come and enjoy our day activities, and then go, because those assisted livings a lot of times are very boring, especially if they're high functioning, the people. Mm-hmm. So they weren't getting enough stimulation where they live. So they would come to my center during the day, and we would do brain stimulating activities with them. But once COVID started, we had to stop that. We can't, if they live in a lockdown environment, sadly, if they live in an environment, we can't let them come to Encore during the day, because where the disease has been spreading has been in those lockdown environments more than in the homes. Mm-hmm. So just because the germs don't have anywhere, like at my center, they have 24 hours to die every night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock the next morning. The germs that are left in the center, even though we do sanitize at the end of the day, they still, if we miss something, they're going to die. But in those lockdown centers where people live, the germs are there all night. So we just have to, you know, be extra, extra cautious.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many centers do you have, Laura? Oh, I'm sorry, Steph.
We have two centers right now. I have one in Dallas. I mean, I have one in Plano, and I have one in Bedford. But we had planned to open 10 more. And we're kind of rethinking this now because of this pandemic. We're like, it just keeps going on and on and on. So mm-hmm. we'll eventually open more, but I don't know when. Where it's been very financially devastating, the pandemic also. Because I have, like in Plano, I've got 5,000 square feet, and we have about 20 people that come. And I'm licensed for 50. But in order to keep them socially distanced, I really can't take all 50. But I can take more than I have, but people are fearful to come.
Yeah.
Even though we haven't had any spread and we know what we're doing, we know how to, we can't guarantee them that they won't get it, but we feel very confident that it's not going to spread at our center.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, do you have a question?
Yeah, so last time when you were on, I remember you sharing some examples of folks getting upset and you kind of redirecting them. And I was wondering if you could go through a couple examples that I would have been so helpful. You know, my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and I think a lot of people listening have someone with dementia or Alzheimer's in their life. And if we could understand the skills or the practice to practice, that might be helpful for us.
Yes. A lot of times people get upset, especially in the beginning stages, because they feel disrespected because they're aware of their deficit, and but they don't want you to be aware of their deficit. So say you're reminding them, hey, you always forget, or you've said that over and over, or things of that nature. It's very frustrating to them. And so we try to avoid, at our centers, we avoid anything like that. If they tell me the same story every 5 minutes, we act like it's the first time that we ever heard it. If they do get upset with someone, there are different strategies that you can use. Like, for instance, and it happens at the center. Most of the time, our people are pretty happy because we understand dementia and we know how to treat them, and we treat them respectfully, and we treat them as they always have been treated their entire life. Because most of the people that have dementia, in my centers anyway, are very accomplished people. They're very brilliant people. And so say someone gets upset for some reason, what we advise is, say you're at home alone with them and they get mad at you, your best bet is to just retreat for a few minutes, maybe go to the bathroom and regroup, and then turn around and come back with a different attitude. Change the subject, change the atmosphere. So they're angry at you because you said that you're not going to let them go outside and they want to go outside. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is you say, oh, I'll be right back. Go to the restroom and then come back in and give them a different, say, hey, George, let me show you something I created yesterday. Come over here and look at this. I want to show you. And you're excited about it. Emotions are very contagious. So if you're excited, they're going to be excited. And a lot of times they'll forget why they were mad, or they'll remember the emotion, but it'll go away if your emotion is good. So it's always, always, always a good idea to keep your emotions upbeat when you're with a dementia patient, because dementia is very, emotions are very contagious. So, and it'll really spiral quickly if you, and also it's very stressful to be taking care of a dementia patient. So it is something to always be aware of. That don't go down that spiral, because it'll just get worse and worse. Always try to escape and come back. Or what we do at the center, since we have a team, if someone gets angry at me, I'll say, I'll be right back, and run away. And then I'll tell one of my coworkers, this is what just happened with Larry. This is the situation. This is what he is angry about. And then my coworker will go, change the atmosphere and change the subject. Hey, let's go. We planted some sunflowers out here. Come look. You know, I'll need your help with this. We need help doing this. Most people with dementia feel useless. They have always been very productive in their life, and they want to help. They don't want you to help them. They want to help you. So if you give them the opportunity to help, and it can be just something simple like folding clothes or something simple that they can handle, if you are grateful to them for helping you and ask them in a nice way, do you mind helping me? They would love to help you, and it's good for the self-esteem, and it's good. A good thing for them to do. So those are some ways that we redirect when people become
angry. Laura, how did you become so passionate about what you do? I mean, if a person can find their passion and just, you know, that would probably be part of the thing. If you find your passion, you really don't work because
right.
So what ignited that passion in your heart for caregiving like this?
Well, you know, this is the last thing in the world I ever thought that I would be doing. It wasn't something that, like a lot of people start a business like mine because they have a passion for it. What happened with me is I have dementia in my family. I've had two cases so far in my family, and my grandmother, who we did not know anything about dementia when she had it, and we did everything wrong. And she really became mean. And I really think it's because we didn't know what we were doing. I think if I had had some training, or if any of us had had any training when my grandmother had it, I don't think she would have gotten mean. I think she would have been way happier. She would have been herself. But that happened. And now currently I have a brother that has dementia. And so one of our friends came to my husband and said, I'm thinking about starting a dementia daycare. And, we were thinking, wow, what a good idea. If that had been available when we needed it, we would definitely have done that. So we decided we started out as financial investors, and we weren't going to do anything. I wasn't going to be running it. I wasn't going to be involved in it at all. We just started out giving them money. And one thing led to another, and we ended up buying them out, and I've been running it 9 out of the 10 years that we have, we've had it open. So, and literally it is my passion. I love it. When we were closed for 6 weeks, I grieved. It was so depressing. I literally on the weekend look forward to going to work on Monday. It's a true joy. It's way easier for me to take care of your loved one than it is for me to take care of my own. You know, I know what for instance, what my brother's lost. I know who he is. I know who he used to be. It's very painful for me to take care of him. It's very frustrating, and I don't want him to have dementia. So I fool myself sometimes where I can take someone else's family member and I get to know them who they are today. I don't know what they've lost, and I don't care. I can love them for who they are now. So It is just our goal with this center is to help the guest. We call them our guests, to hopefully not progress as quickly as he would if he were sitting home watching TV, stimulate his brain, stimulate his body, keep him using his brain and his body so that hopefully he won't progress as quickly. Also, we want to give that family member that drops him off an opportunity to relax completely. I want them to be able to just feel like their loved one is in such good hands that they can completely relax while their loved one is at my center. They can go home and take a nap and know that their loved one's in good hands. Amen. So it's really twofold. We feel like we're not only helping the dementia patient, but we feel like we're giving a service to the caregiver at home that they just wouldn't have otherwise.
You have opportunities where you can kind of coach the caregivers on some of the things. If I remember correctly, Laura, you mentioned that statistically the caregiver goes before the patient or before the guest.
Yes.
Do you offer those kind of services to the caregivers?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, every caregiver that brings someone to my center, we get to know their loved one and we get to know what works with them. And the good thing about dementia is if you find something that works, you can use it over and over because they're going to forget. So you can literally use the same line over and over again if it worked, if it comforted them, if it made them feel good, you can use that to comfort them in the future. So once we get to know that loved one, we know what comforts them, what redirects them, because there's no two cases of dementia that are alike. There's a lot of similarities, but just like every person is different, every disease, every person's dementia is different. So we have techniques that we know if this one doesn't work, 5 minutes later, we can try this one. And then once we hit one that works, we share that. We share it with everybody on staff at the center. Like, hey, this works with John. This is what happened. This is what I said. It worked like a charm. He was comforted. He was happy. Then I share it with their families. And so a lot of times the families are at their wits' end, especially when they first start. So we'll sit down and we'll have, you know, counseling sessions with them and tell them this is what works with most dementia patients. You know your loved one. We know dementia. So once we get to know your loved one, we'll know what works with him. Right now, you can try this, this, and this. If it doesn't work, call us. Let us know. And so they tell us their problems, the things that they're struggling with. And a lot of times it's very common stuff, like how to get them in the shower. A lot of times dementia patients don't want to take a bath. They don't want to take a shower. So we have techniques on how to get them in the shower at home. And some of them just really work really well. So,
Laura, I remember one time one of the gentlemen coming up in regards to what Paul had said there too. And he said to me, well, you know, Pastor Joe, I know you'd know him. He had silver hair. He was a great guy. And he said, there's one thing good about having Alzheimer's. He says, we get all the dark chocolate we want because it's good for dementia. And I thought that's one thing. But when you think about that, I'm thinking about what they've been saying. Do you have a suggestion for us possibly? How do we know in a family when someone who has dementia that is you love very much in your family comes to the place where they're going to have to go to the next level? They can't have the person at home, but they need to be somewhere where they're in full care. Maybe it's step 6 or 7 of dementia. Is there anything you could share with us that way with families?
Well, here's the thing about dementia. Once you are diagnosed with dementia or cognitive impairment, you really never know. I mean, they're okay for a while, but you never know the day that it's not going to be okay anymore. Like, I suggest is as soon as you find out that they have some cognitive impairment, I would get them some help. Like, I would get them in a program maybe at least a couple of days a week at my center or a center like mine. Because, like, I can give you example after example. I had one guy that was super high functioning. I mean, just the life of the party, very social, could carry on a conversation. You really wouldn't know that he had dementia unless you did spend time with him and maybe he was telling you the same stories over and over. One night in the middle of the night, he woke up and he went into the bathroom and drank his wife's eucalyptus bath oil, which is poisonous. Yeah. So he ended up in the hospital. So you just never know. Like, it's just not, in my opinion, it's not safe leaving anyone with dementia home alone, even if they seem like they're okay. I would stay with them. I would have someone with them because you never know when all of a sudden it's not going to be okay anymore. Like my brother took, I was with him and he opened he decided he was hungry, opened the refrigerator, took a Tupperware dish out of the refrigerator, took the lid off, put it on a gas stove, standing there, started to turn the gas stove on. So I ran over, you know, this is my brother, so I probably didn't handle this right. If it were not my brother, I probably would have said, oh, I've got a good idea for that. You know, but for him, I was like, no! Ran over, grabbed it. He felt bad. But you just never know. The brain isn't working correctly, and you don't know the day that it's not going to be okay anymore. You know, that they're going to do something that's dangerous that can harm them or burn your house down or something, you know. Mm-hmm.
What, Laura, and this may be more for Tank than you, but I'm always, as we're sort of sliding into geezerhood here, or at least I am, not these youngsters, but what are some early indications that, you know, there may be an onset of dementia? Because, you know, clearly, I'm almost 67. Sometimes I walk into a room and I forgot why I went there.
He's talking about me.
No, I'm not you.
I think that's pretty normal.
You know, I'm sure it's a physiological thing, but then there's, I'm sure, tests for this. But when the average person is aging, there's going to be, I think, normal, if that's possible, memory loss. There's probably normal, physical. You're not physically as capable as you were when you were in your 20s or 30s or 40s.
Right.
What we're talking about, I guess, is really the mind, the brain. And I don't know how that works when it comes to diagnosing. And I'm not saying self-diagnosis, but I mean just, you know.
What to
look out for. And then, like, when you're getting your annual physical, talking to your doc or your primary care provider about maybe just we're thinking about this and maybe talking to them about what should they be looking for or what should we be looking for or what sort of things can prevent the onset, whether it's vitamins or pills or something. I don't know. It's kind of a loaded question, I guess.
Well,
yeah.
I think dementia is overdiagnosed, truthfully. I honestly do, because I've had some people in my center that I could tell you, I don't think that they had dementia. Their family's convinced that they do. And maybe they have some age-related forgetfulness. But I'm not a doctor, but what they say is if you forget where you left your keys, that's pretty normal. If somebody finds your keys in the refrigerator or the freezer, that's not so normal. Your brain is not working. When you have dementia, your brain is not firing normally. People will start repeating the same stories over and over again. Like, I know I tell the same stories over and over again because I have good stories, you know, and I've got a few good ones that I'll continue to tell, but I don't forget who I've told the stories to, you know, yet. So, you know, dementia is your brain is misfiring a lot more seriously than just forgetting what you walked into a room for. You know, I do that. I do that at work. I did that today. I was like, oh, I came in the office specifically to do something. I was distracted by one of my guests. And then when he left, I could not remember what and it was important. I came in there to do it. I was like, well, okay. Don't remember what it is. And then I went to meet with my nurse and it hit me again. So, but I think that's pretty normal aging. I'm 62. It happens, but, I mean, you might want to ask the doctor what the difference is because.
Tank, you got anything?
I can see. I know it when I see it, but.
Tank, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like what Laura's saying. So a lot of memories focus, right? So, like, when you meet someone at a party, when we used to be able to do that, you get their name and you forget it right away. Well, it's not because you don't have the memory, you just didn't file it, you know, in your brain to memorize it. You were focused on learning who this person was. And a bunch of other details that were more important. So, you know, Laura's examples are kind of the, you know, telltale pathologic things like the keys are not where they're supposed to be, or you see them drinking out of something they shouldn't be drinking, or The wisdom I got was, you know, there's three things about getting old. The first one's your memory goes, and the other two I can't remember.
Can't remember. Yep, so, true.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of cognitive tests that psychologists and psychiatrists and other docs that focus on geriatric stuff can test people on. So there are ways to do that. Our brains are pretty crazy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you get dyslexia and Alzheimer's, it's even crazier. So, yeah. So it's more of a, I think this could be pathologic. They go out for a walk and they get lost, you know, or they take something weird with, they leave the dog home when they normally don't. So it's something that, and then you go, okay, well, maybe. And then you take them to a doc that's going to test them, and then you've got the diagnosis. But I think Laura's right. There's a lot of people that just don't focus, you know, they're squirrel, ADD or whatever, and they don't memorize stuff, and they think they're diagnosed with dementia, and they're really not. So,
yeah, I have, my problem is I remember faces a whole lot better than I remember names. You know, so I'll say, okay, I know this person, but I can't think of their name. Mm-hmm. You know, and it kills me to do that, but it's like, I know this person from somewhere, or, you know, I've met them a few times, the name doesn't click, and that concerns me a bit too, but it's just, I've always been that way. It's always taken me a while to remember people's names, so I'm mm-hmm. thinking, hopefully that's not anything abnormal for me.
We all wear name tags at my center. They can read. They know your name.
I need a name tag.
Go back to a high school reunion and see how many people you can remember their names.
They look. We don't even look alike anymore.
They put their high school
yearbook. I need
sticker on their name tag.
What you need?
Nowhere near what they used to look like.
Well, Laura and Tank, I read somewhere that if they don't come up with a cure for Alzheimer's, and that by the year 2050, I won't be here, I'll be with the Lord, but by the year 2050, every 33 seconds, somebody's going to be diagnosed with full-blown Alzheimer's. That was kind of a devastating thing to read by 2050. I remember reading by every 8 seconds, somebody turns a senior up to 2020. I thought I took that one a lot easier. That was easier. Does that make any sense on a cure like that? Why would it get worse, I wonder?
People are living longer, probably.
Yeah, I think an older population.
Is that so, okay.
You know, baby boomers are now mm-hmm. you know, becoming senior citizens, and so that's a huge population that...
That makes sense. Thanks.
Yeah. I wonder, too, I mean, is there a difference between being diagnosed with dementia and being diagnosed with Alzheimer's? Because I would think they're part of the same family of brain function loss.
Well, dementia is, they say, the umbrella. Like, I have people in my center that have dementia, but they don't have Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is the main cause of dementia. So you'll have maybe 60% of the people at my center, the dementia is caused by Alzheimer's disease. It's the largest cause of it, but there are other causes of dementia as well. So
what are those other causes? Are you able to... You know,
yeah, you've got vascular dementia. You've got actually some alcohol related dementia. There's lots of different causes. There's some dementia caused by Parkinson's as well.
Well, is it genetics too? Genetics?
Well, a lot of times that's Alzheimer's. That mm-hmm. runs in the family genetically.
I have that in my family. I'm not sure if it's dementia or Alzheimer's. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah.
No, I think one of the simple definitions of Alzheimer's is just early onset dementia. So it's kind of before what you'd expect it to be. So mm-hmm. it may be a little more rapid than a normal dementia, mm-hmm. but yeah. And you can have, like what Laura said, vascular multi-infarct, meaning you've got areas of the brain on CT scan or MRI that are gone from lack of blood flow and that affects your memory, and mm-hmm. vertical atrophy, which is aging, and a whole bunch of stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Hmm. That's scary.
Yeah. Sounds like it's going to hit all of us mm-hmm. at some point.
It doesn't happen.
So we're going to have some form of it. Is that correct?
I don't think it happens to everybody. Look at Dr. Fauci. He's 80 years old.
That's a matter of opinion.
Personally, I'd rather not. But
sorry.
Yeah. I'm just kidding, sorry.
It's okay.
do you use animals like pets, like therapy dogs or anything in the centers?
Yes, we do.
I'm a big advocate of animal therapy for people.
We do, actually. We have a pet therapy. We call it Love on the Leash. And we bring we bring little dogs in and let them play with the dogs.
That's great.
Yes, we do.
You can bring big dogs in, too, you know.
Now, what we've been doing during the pandemic is we don't allow the people with the dogs in, but we let the dogs in. we just meet them at the door with the leash, and we grab the leash.
Animals are safer than people now. Isn't that weird?
That's one of the better aspects of therapy or dealing even with a person with dementia. There's something about an animal and a dog in particular that, you know, whether there's somebody that's sick in the hospital or whether it's like at a daycare like you have, it just brightens. They automatically get a smile on their face. They automatically warm up to a four-legged creature in ways that people just don't always give that same reaction to a person like that.
Another thing that we do, aren't doing right now during the pandemic, but we have done in the past and we hope to do again, is intergenerational therapy, where we bring children from a child's daycare over and let them play with my guests. Because my guests love little children. They just love them. And my little children love my elderly people as well. So it's great. We do a lot of music therapy too. Music is our slogan is music is magic. So we integrate music into almost everything we do because that's the only thing that uses all parts of the brain. So
interesting how you can remember words to songs. My mother would come back like, Laura, you remember we all talked. She remember every word of every hymn, but then she couldn't remember anything, Rob. She just, at that point, she sure knew those hymns like you're saying, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we sing old hymns every morning, and they remember those old hymns. They do.
Amen. So. We got a couple of minutes. Anybody have another question? We got like 2 minutes. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry, brother.
No, I just was saying I know all the Beatles songs words, but
that counts too.
Applicable.
Mom didn't know those.
Well, I mean, the people that are in the senior years are probably big fans of the music of the '60s and everything. So I just as an aside, I guess Beatles music songs, sing along, that sort of thing. In addition to hymns, which is a good thing too.
we remember them.
Sure. That's all I got.
Absolutely. Me too. I'm with you.
Quick question. So not being able to gather has caused a huge amount of depression amongst all people. You have any suggestions for your guests? I know they get to gather, but I also wondered what the ones that didn't get to come back, what they passed away from. Do you know?
Well, sadly, there have been several. I've had 7 or 8 deaths. And there have been different things, like one guy fell at home and broke a hip. And once you break a hip, and once you go into the hospital when everything's all locked down and you can't see your family, it's just awful. It's horrible. This was one of my highest functioning guys. I never, ever thought he would die. So I've lost some really great people. For various, I really think they died of loneliness, honestly. I think they went to the hospital, they went to a home and couldn't see their family and just gave up their will, gave up their will to live. So,
sadly, I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Well, Laura, you know, we're go ahead, hon. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I had one guy that just wouldn't eat. They put him in a home and he just wouldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, what we hear is your heart. You and David, the first time I met you all, and just like our senior guys that we worked with at church, you have a heart, like Pastor Paul said, for people. And I know the Lord loves people through you and through David and reaches out to them. And I know those people get that strength they need, not just in their prayers and with their family, but their families are encouraged and they're encouraged by you. So I'm sure when they went in the hospital, it made it even harder for them at that point. But we want you to know how much we appreciate you and what you do. And you are in our prayers, and David, and what you are doing. I know it's been really tough, been praying for you as this COVID went into this spin we've been in. I know a couple of times we talked, it was hard, and I could feel your heart. And so know that we're praying for you. Everybody here on Raising Expectations, we're going to be holding you both up, and all the wonderful people that are there, your staff, some of the most wonderful people, just like these co-hosts, you don't find them any better. So we'll be praying for you. And I would like to say just a word to everybody on that note. If you live in the Dallas area, you just dial up Encore Daycare Center and go to our website. We'll get that information for you and talk to Laura and let her help you with that person that's very special in your life. I'd also like to say a word right now that's really important from our hearts here on Raising Expectations. We put out the story about who we are, why we are, and what we do, and received great reviews back from people. It's on Facebook, LinkedIn, and some of the other ads. And, you know, we are listener supported in everything that we do. We usually get so wonderfully into the program that I forget to bring this up. That's the pastoral side of me, because I never was very good at that part of it. But when it comes to Raising Expectations, to bring wonderful people like Laura and her husband David and the wonderful staff at Encore, and of course to have our own co-host that we'll be sharing with you, please go and read that story. Hundreds of you have, and there's a donation button there. We're going to be bringing things to you. I'm going to do a CD and sing hymns and great things, and you're going to get those. You're going to receive an autographed copy of a book. You're going to receive reports from COVID from Dr. Thayer and how to be healthy and well from Stephanie, who does an incredible job on health and wellness. And we've got a new idea today. We're going to have a recipe of the month to raise your expectations when you look forward to it. Of course, if you can't cook, it may lower them, but try it. It'll be worth it. It'll be really, really good. So on behalf of everybody here on Raising Expectations, Laura, again, you and David, God bless you and keep you and all the people there in your institution. And we'll be lifting you up in prayer. And to all the staff here and to all of our listeners and those who are watching right now, God bless you. God keep you. And as you tune in, go and check out Facebook. You can find it all right there. And if the Lord leads you, support us. Put a little support in on there. God will bless you for it. Hey. So will we. We'll keep right on rolling, coming to you every week. God bless and keep you from everybody Raising Expectations. Thank you. And we'll see you next week. Same time, same station, right here on the BBS Radio TV Network. Thanks so much. We're signing off now.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.